We begin the current daven, Sefetz Bav Metzia, daf Kof Tez Vav. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of these halachas of these current Mishnais, discussing halachas of a mashkin, that is regarding a borrower that doesn't have the money to pay up, so then the lender goes and takes security, takes collateral for the payment of the debt, that has certain halachas that apply to it. So one of them is, as term one of the brayse, the pasuk in Devarim says, "Le'savei el beis elav avayt." You're not allowed to go into the guy's house to take the collateral. You've got to stand on the outside. Possibly even he can't even take it himself. He has to have the shliach bezin take it. He's not allowed to go into his house and take it. Now that says the brayse, "Le'beisa iyata nichnas." You're not allowed to go into the borrower's house. That's where you can't go ahead and take the collateral. Aval ata nichnas lebeis yishal arev, but you could go into the guarantor's house. That is when the borrower takes a loan. Says, "Hey, how do I know you're going to pay? Maybe you're going to default." He says, "I have what's called an arev. I have a guarantor. If I default, he'll pay." The halacha says the brayse, you could go into the arev's house and take stuff from his house for collateral, even though you can't do it to the borrower. So to says the brayse, we see in the pasuk in Mishlei that the guarantor actually has it pretty severe, and because ultimately all the achrayis, the guarantee is on the guarantor. As the pasuk says, "Lekach bigde, take his garment, ki arev zar, because he has guaranteed for a foreigner, for an unrelated person, etc." You see, you could take away his stuff. The arev has the final responsibility. So to Vayim, another pasuk in Mishlei, it says, "Beni, my son, imaravta l'riecha, if you have guaranteed for your friend, takato l'zar kapecha, then you shake to a foreigner your palm, or if nekashta b'mrificha, you have stumbled in the words of your mouth, meaning you have abused someone verbally, then or nilkadata b'mrificha, then you have been caught in the words of your mouth, then asoi zois eifoi b'nei b'notzal, then do this, my son, and then you'll be saved. Kibasa b'kafir echa, because you have come to the hand of your friend, so leichis rapis, go," and literally this means degrade yourself, "v'rahavri echa, make your friend into a ruler over you." The Gemara Darshan, the Brisa says, what the Pasuk is coming to say is two different ideas. The first part of the Pasuk was saying, if that guy has money by you, meaning that you owe him money, because like the Pasuk was saying, you were a rafter l'riecha, takat l'zar kapecha, meaning you became an arv for someone, now you that guy defaulted and you owe money, as we see, that's then you have to go ahead and they could even come to your house and take the stuff away, then that's what he was telling him, is heterli pisas yad, then open up the palm of your hand, which is from the word hisra pisa, which is a compound of heter pas, open up the palm of your hand, if you became an arv, and pay him up. Now, vimla, but if you weren't an arv, you weren't a guarantor for someone, but rather you stumbled on the words, you did oynaz devarim, you heard someone verbally, then that's what the pasuk says, rahav riach. What that means to say is, rahav is also the same letters as herba alav reyim, go ahead and increase friends, to go ahead and beseech the guy to ask him for forgiveness for the words that they have used to abuse him. So again, that's one interpretation, and what does the word levesa come to tell us? That it's only for the house of the borrower you can't go out and take the collateral, but to the house of the arv, as we see in these two psukim and Mishlei, that the arv has it more strict, because he took responsibility, you could even go into his house and take the collateral. It says the brisel at sad sheni, which means like, or another interpretation of this word, lebesai, it's only to the house of the borrower in regards to a loan. That's where iyata nichnas. Then you cannot go ahead and collect from him collateral, take his objects, his metatlin, from his house if it's coming from the context of a lender and a borrower. Aval ata nichnas, but you could go into the debtor's house to take collateral for a different debt which is not a loan. For example, l'schar kasef, l'schar chamer, if let's say you worked for him as a porter or a donkey driver, or l'schar punduk, or if let's say you rented him, you leased him a krechme, a inn or hotel, or l'schad yuknois, or he hired you to go ahead and paint pictures for him in his house for pay, so then that's where, if he owes you money, then you're allowed to go into his house and take away collateral if he's not paying up the debt. It's only regards to a loan, that's where the Torah says that you can't go into his house, to the house of a borrower, but for any other debtor, you can go into his house. Now, concludes the Braisa, Yochalaf Lazak Vinilav Bemilva. You would think that regarding all these cases that we just described, which he owes you money for other things, that even if ultimately you say, "Look, you owe me for the pictures I drew, okay, you know what? Let it be considered a loan. Because you don't have to pay me right now, but like you owe me money now," which is like as if I lend you the money that you owe me. You would think that even then he's allowed to go into his house if he doesn't end up paying and take the collateral from his house. That's what the Braisa teaches. No, if that's the case, you already transferred what was owed for, let's say, being a donkey driver or for renting him something, into a loan. That's what the Pasuk teaches there in the Pasuk of Devarim, that mashas mu'uma, that any loan that is owed, yinala go leisav el beis al avad avoyta, then already is considered now a loan, even though originally it was not a loan, but since it was transferred into a loan, you cannot go now into his house to collect the mashka. Mark continues with the next mission, again, continuing on this theme about mashkainis, about security, collateral. Almana, regarding a widow, bein shehi aniya, bein shehi ashira, whether she's poor or wealthy, the halacha is ein mashkainis, so you're not allowed to go and take collateral from her. Why? Shnemach says the pasuk in Devarim. Says, leisach bel begel almana, this is an explicit pasuk that says, you're not take collateral, not take security from a widow. Now, however, the Gemara brings a brisa, the Torah brings a brisa. Almana, like the opinion of our Mishnah, whether she's poor or wealthy, ain mashkenais the Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe says, like the Talmud by Mishnah, in either way, the Torah says explicitly, you cannot take a mashken from a widow. Doesn't make a difference if she's poor or not. Shimon Eimer, he disagrees. He says, ashira me mashkenais. If she's wealthy, you could take a mashken from her. Aniya in me mashkenais. But by a poor widow, that's where, since that's a regular almana, generally would be poor, that's what the pasuk was talking about when they were saying that you cannot take a mashken from her. But actually, if she was wealthy, then you could. Now, what's the reason why the Torah then is forbidding it by almana, which generally we assume is poor, that such almana you cannot take a mashkin from? Is because shad chayv lahavzula, like all halachas of mashkinis, when you take the security, you have to give it back to them whenever they need it. So if the widow, you're taking the widow's night garment, so during the daytime, oh, you owe me money, okay, at nighttime you got to give it back to her. Or let's say it's something that she uses to sew with, so during the day you're going to have to give it back to her in the morning. Then the problem is Vatamasiya Shem Rabishkhanisal. So the Torah is concerned you're gonna give her a bad name in her neighborhood because everyone's gonna say, what's this guy coming every morning, every night, he comes back and forth to this lady's house, it starts looking inappropriate. So says Rabbi Shimon, that's what the Torah was forewarning regarding not taking a mashkin from Almana, but that was only for a poor woman, that you have to return it because she needs it. A wealthy widow who doesn't need it, and you're not gonna have to return it, then you're allowed to take the collateral, you're allowed to take the security from such Almana. Now, on this machlek, as the Gemara asks, Lememra, is that to say, as it seems, Rabbi Yehuda loy darsh time the Rabbi Yehuda does not expound the reasoning behind the pasuk. No, the pasuk says, Amana, you cannot take a mashkin. So it doesn't make a difference if she's wealthy or not, that you should start creating logic and theories why the Torah made it, and oh, when that theory doesn't apply, then it's going to be permitted. No, it doesn't differentiate. Whereas Rabbi Shimon darsh time the Rabbi Shimon expounds the reasoning of the pasuk. Although the Torah just says you cannot take from Almana, he says, why do you think the Torah said that? Why should Almana be different? Oh, because she's not married, and she's poor, and you're going to have to come back and forth to this single lady, it's going to look inappropriate. That's what. But when she's wealthy, that reason doesn't apply, then it's actually permitted to take the mashkin from her. And that has the Gemara, but we have a different machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that seems to be the exact opposite in this machlekes. The Tanakh learned the Brisa. The Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, talks in regards to a king, a Jewish king, it says, that you're not allowed to increase for the king more than 18 wives, as the Pasuk says over there, because of that we don't want them to turn his heart astray. Too many wives, too many opinions, too many different influences. Fine. What is this halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda, he says as follows, he says, Marbuhu, the king could take more than 18 wives. Ubavach, Eliyu, Mesiris, Libot, as long as they don't go ahead and turn away his heart. As we see from the Pasuk, what's the reason why? Although it says you're just not allowed to, but it says the reason is because they shouldn't turn his heart astray. If they don't, then you can take more than 18. Shimon, he disagrees. He says, no, afil achas v'hi mesira es libo hareza leisiyano. No, even one wife, even if he only had one wife, but she would turn his heart astray, even such a woman he's not allowed to marry. Simkein matam aloyma v'loyaba le'noshim, then what is the pasuk teaching you that you're not allowed to have more than 18? What's the reason? Turn your heart astray? What does that mean? Even one wife you wouldn't be able to have even to turn your heart astray. Says Rabbi Shimon, it must be what the Pasuk is teaching you, that Afilik Abigail, even if he marries a wife as righteous as Abigail, still you cannot take any more over 18. Because Loyas Lavava, that would be even one. If it's saying only 18, means 18 and that's it. So what you see is that Rabbi Yehuda obviously is expounding the reasoning of the Pasuk. And although the Pasuk says black and white, you can't have more than 18, but that's only because Loyas Lavava. But if that reason doesn't apply, then you could take more than 18. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is not expounding the reasoning of the Pasuk, because he's saying that no, although the Pasuk says the reason is lavavai, but then that would be even by one. If the Torah is telling you can't have more than 18, you can't have more than 18. It doesn't make a difference, even if it's not going to be loyas lavavai. And that contradicts what we're saying over here, that Rabbi Shimon is the one who's dashing time of the Quran, who does not. Says the Gemara, la'ilam, truth in general, Rabbi Yehuda loy darsh time dikra. Does not expound the reasoning of the pasuk. Therefore, let's say in our halacha of our mishnah, which says leisach bol peyur amana, you now take a collateral from the widow. In all situations, even if so to speak, the reason wouldn't apply. But here by the king, it's different. The mefarish kara, because the pasuk is explicit. The pasuk says v'leyabulay nashim is now that increase women more than this amount, and v'leyaser that they shouldn't go ahead and turn his heart. Now, what's the Torah telling you? My time of v'leyabulay nashim. The Torah is telling you what's the reason why Hashem is telling you can't add more wives. Mishum de loyaser, because so that they shouldn't turn his heart astray. But what that tells you is, but if they won't be yaser is levavik, then there is no problem. Then you could have more than 18. That's why he says. In general, I'm not going to say a reason, but if the Torah is saying a reason, then that must be a limitation, a qualification of the halacha. Now, Reb Shimon is actually going to come at the opposite. Mechti, let's see. Bi'alma, der shin in time of the krah. In other words, according to Reb Shimon, in general, we expound the reasoning, according to his opinion, the reasoning of the pasuk, the rationale, even though the Torah doesn't say the reason, which is like he says by halacha, by the taking a mashkin from an almana, where he learns up, the Torah doesn't say a reason, but he learns up, why would the Torah say such a thing? He wants to understand it, and that's how what the Torah wants you to do, is saying according to that ramification, which is because you're going to come back every night, but a wealthy woman you're not going to come back because you don't have to give her back the mashkin. So then the question then becomes, according to Rabbi Shimon, so then lichtav rechmanu leyarba, according to his logic, in the way he understands the Torah should have said by the king, don't increase your amount of wives. The Torah didn't have to tell me that, oh, so they shouldn't turn his heart astray. Because I would know, again, the way Reb Shimon understands the whole Torah, that my time of Layarba, what's the reason why you not have too many wives? Mishum de Layasa, because then that they shouldn't turn your heart astray. Now, so Layasa, the Kazachman, Alamalais, then why does the Torah tell me Layasa? That says the Gemara that, to the contrary now, Afila Achas and Mysterious Liba, Reza Laysienda, what the Torah is coming to teach you is two different ideas. I would know the reason without lo yaser. So must be, it's actually a different concept. Lo yabalei nashim is lo yabalei nashim. And although generally I would say, oh, why is the reason? Because they shouldn't be yaser. But if it wouldn't be yaser, you could. Then why does the Torah say lo yaser? Must be coming to tell you that even if you had one wife that would turn his heart away from Hashem, that you wouldn't be able to marry her. And therefore, so why does it say 18 and then 19 you can because it's going to be yaster. What do you mean? Even one wouldn't be yaster. Coming to tell you that even if they're not going to turn this heart away, still they can't have more than 19. So it doesn't contradict. It's actually because the Torah says the reason, it actually makes it the inverse of what it usually is. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on another specific halacha that's mentioned in the Torah besides the prohibition of taking a mashkin, of going into his house. Like the previous Mishnah, there's a special pasuk of not taking the widow's garment. Then there's another halacha that says explicitly a pasuk. Says the Mishnah, if someone takes the person's mill, where he uses to grind his grain, if he takes that as collateral, even mishum loisase. So the lender violates a negative prohibition. And the chayv mishum mishnei kelim, he actually violates it as if he violated it on two parts for two different vessels. Well, he took one mill, but it's like he violated two times in regards to each one of these kelim. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, says lo yachbol rechaim v'rachav, that you shouldn't take as collateral the rechaim and the rachav, which is the rachav means to ride. It's the upper part, and the bottom part is called the rechaim. So by taking the mill, you're actually taking two different kelim according to the Torah, and you're violating a separate loisase when you take them. Now concludes the Mishnah, v'lo rechaim v'rachav b'vadam. And now that this violation was not only said specifically for the two parts of the mill, but rather anything that's used in the processing of food, that if the person takes as collateral, he's going to violate this special loisase. So then, like it says in the pasuk, it says ki nefesh uchevel. Why is it lo yachvel rechaim berachem? And the pasuk ki nefesh uchevel because he takes his nefesh, which is what food does. It provides the stability of a person's soul and his body. He takes that as collateral. That's the reason why it's forbidden. That comes to include all items that are used for echel nefesh, or a toaster or a knife. Anything that's used in that process is a violation of this special isser of taking a mashkin of these food items. Now, regarding this halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following machlokes. Amar Rafuna. Chavel Rechaim, if someone takes the lower part of the mill as collateral, says Rav Huna, Leikishtayim, he's actually getting lashes for two violations. One is Mishum Rechaim, one's for the lower part of the mill, which is explicit in the Pasuk. And the second one is Umishum Ki Nefesh Uchayvel, is because of, he's also, the end of the Pasuk, which is a separate idea, which is because he takes his soul as collateral, which includes any type of Eichel Nefesh food, nefesh item, something that has to do with food, which includes also the Rechai. So too, if let's say he took the Rochav, the upper part, as collateral, he would also get two Malkus. One is because of Rochav, of the upper part, and one would be because of Nefesh Uchevel. Continues Rav Huna, let's say Rechayim v'Rochav, let's say he took the lower part of the mill and the upper part of the mill, then like a Shalish, he would get three lashes. Mishum Rechayim v'Rochav, which are each separate, as we said in the Mishnah, two different Kalim, you get each one a separate violation. Or Mishum Ki Nefesh Uchevel, and also for the last part of the Pasuk, because he's taking an Echel Nefesh thing, which includes Rechayim v'Rochav, so that's its own laugh. That's Rav Huna. Rabbi Huda Amar, he says, no. Chavol Rechayim, if he takes only the lower part of the mill, like achas, he only gets one lashes. V'rochav, like achas, takes only the top part of the mill, he gets one lashes. Rechayim v'rochav, like ashtayim, if he takes the upper and the lower, he gets only two lashes, because he learns, ki nefesh u'chayvel, this that ends off the pasig, that because he's taking his soul as collateral, that is a ketin tamid beis, that l'shar devarm huda asa. That was coming to include other eichel nefesh type of items. But it wasn't coming to add another negative prohibition and Rechayim v'Rochav, because Rechayim v'Rochav was already explicit in the pasuk in the first half. This is the pasuk concludes, and we needed to say ki nefesh. That was to include other kelim of eichel nefesh, but not to add another lav on if, let's say, you're chayvel, you take a collateral of Rechayim v'Rochav. That's their machlekes. Says the Gemara, lema bai v'Rava. Let's say a bai v'Rava that we're going to shortly quote, beplukted Rav Huna v'Yehuda k'mifli, that they are disagreeing in the same machlekes that we just quoted in Rav Huna v'Yehuda. Because the Amar Rava, Rava said, regarding the halachas of a Karban Pesach, Rava says, Achol na, if someone consumes his Karban Pesach in a partially cooked state, so like a Stein, he gets two sets of lashes. Why? Mishum na, one is because the Torah says that you're not allowed to go ahead and eat a Karban Pesach in a semi-cooked state. Umishum, and also because the Pasuk says, ki im tzliyesh, that you should only make the Karban Pesach and eat it roasted by the fire. So you're doing partially cooked. A, it's na. And B, you're not fulfilling the general halacha, which says it has to be roasted by fire, which then makes a negative prohibition on anything that is not that, which is what no is. Now, let's say mevushal. Let's say it's a Karban Pesach cooked. So like ishtayim. So you get two sets of lashes. One is mishum mevushal. The Torah says, you're not allowed to go ahead and, well, this is a pasuk in Shemos Yud Beis test. It says, al teichel menu no, you're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach partially cooked, ubashil mevushal b'mayim, or cooked in water. Kihim Sliyesh, rather, has to be roasted by the fire, Rosh al-Krav al-Kibbah. So, if you eat it cooked, so then you're getting two sets of lashes, one's Mishum Mavush, one's because it's cooked, or Mishum Kihim Sliyesh, and this is because of what the Torah says, it has to be roasted by fire, which cooked is not. Now, let's say not Umavush, let's say eat it partially cooked and cooked, then like a Shalash, you get three sets of lashes. One is Mishum Na, one is Mishum Mevushal, and one is Mishum Leisechlenu, Kiyim Tzliyesh, the Torah says, no, that you should only eat it roasted by the fire. That's Rav. Abayam, he says, no, Ein Leikin Alav Shebechlolis, you don't get lashes for a general category of a prohibition. In other words, when the Torah says, Leisechlenu Kiyim Tzliyesh, you shouldn't eat it, but roasted by the fire, that is a general halacha, which includes anything that's not that, which is no, which is partially cooked, mavushal, that's totally cooked. So it says, Abai, you don't get lashes for no mavushal for the general halacha, but only for that which is explicit in the Torah that mentions them as specifically no and mavushal. Says the Gemara, so there seemingly is the same achlik as Rabbi Huda. Why? Lema Abai, damak Rabbi Huda. Sounds like we should say Abai is like Rabbi Huda, who he said that when you're violating something which is a general category and a specific, and they're both coming regarding one negative prohibition, you don't get lashes for the general clause. That's Rabbi Huda said. He says that when you take Rechayim v'Rochav, you only violate for Rechayim v'Rochav, but not for the end of the pasuk ki nefesh hu chayvel. You're not going to get for the general category, which includes anything like that. You only get for the specific. Which is what Abaye said. Abaye said that you only get for Noam Avosha, not for the general category of Kim Sliyesh. Rava, who says that you get another set of lashes for the general category of like Kim Sliyesh, would be like Rav Huna, who says that you get for the general statement of the end of the Pasig of Kinefesh. And that says the Gemara, no, each one could say that they would hold like both Amiram. Amalacha Rava. Rava could tell you, I could be even like Rabbi Huda. Why? Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Huda hasam. Where do we have Rabbi Huda over there, meaning in our sugya, that he says that the words ki nefesh are not used to add on more negative prohibitions on Rechayim v'Rochav, that he says you don't get another set of lashes for that. That, says Rava, is because el dechi nefesh hu chayvel, that's only because when the Torah says at the end of the pasuk nefesh u'chayvel, which we said in the Mishnah comes to include other items of eichel nefesh, had the Torah not written that end of the pasuk, loy mashma, that wouldn't be understood to learn it from Rechayim Barachiv. You wouldn't know to learn it from Rechayim Barachiv, because you would think that the Torah is specifically saying that the negative prohibition is only for a mill, the top part of the mill, the bottom part of the mill, but you wouldn't know that it would include anything like a toaster, anything that has to do with a keli of eichel nefesh. So hilkach l'shar dvam hu da'asa. So that's why you could say that the end of the pasuk is coming to tell you for other things, for other types of kleis which you would not know from Rechayim Barachiv, and therefore you don't say that it's used to add on more lavin for the first part of the pasuk, because that's not what it's for. It's actually here explicitly for other kalim. Now, aval hachab, it says Rava, but over here in my disagreement with Abaya, if not for the fact that these words in the Torah of Kiyum Tzli Eish are coming to add on more negative prohibitions to get another set of lashes for when he eats it na or mevushal, then Kiyum Tzli Eish l'mayos, and then says Rava, then what is that pasuk, what's that part of the pasuk coming to tell us? Because there's nothing that's not included in the prohibition of kiyum tzli eish that's not na'u mevushal, besides besides roasting. Now, if you're going to say that the Torah, when they use those words, is coming to tell you the mitzvah of roasting, that can't be like Rashi says, because there's a different pasuk that says tzli eish umatzis v'goymer, etc., that you have to make the korban pesach roasted by the fire. So it says Rav shma mina l'lav. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda would agree to me that here, it would obviously be coming to include more negative prohibitions on Nam Avoshal. They get another set of lashes. Because what else then is the Pasuk coming to say? By Yehuda's case, I agree that it's not coming to say Lav Yisrael, because to the contrary, it's explicitly coming to include other types of Kalim that are for Eichel Nefesh. But here, where the Pasuk is not saying anything, must be it's coming to include more Lavin. So therefore, it could even be like a Yehuda. Now, the Abaye Amalach Abaye would tell you, no, anod d'amri afil Rav Huna. I could even be like Rav Huna. I mean, although Abaye says that general statements you don't get lavin for, you don't add another set of lashes, seemingly not like Rav Huna, who says that for the extra term of that nefesh hu chayvel, you actually, which is inclusive, which is a general statement, you do get lashes for that under Chayim Barachiv. And that says Abaye as follows. He says, ad kan lo kam Rav Huna hasam. Because up until this point, Rav Huna only said his halacha over there, that the general statement will come to add on more lavin on the specific cases. Ella, only because the chinefesh hu chayvel, because those words of the pasuk that he's taking collateral of the guy's life, that's as we continue on top of Kavtes Ayin and Aleph, is Yiseruhu. It's because it is a superfluous pasuk to create a lav. Now, although, as Rava pointed out, it's extra to be able to teach for other kelim of eichel nefesh, but even the yiseruhu, but says Abaye, but ultimately, since it is extra to teach a negative prohibition, and it says it in an ambiguous general way, so shadyas, and then you could also apply it tarechayim v'rochiv to also the two parts of a mill. Because the words ki nefesh u'chayvel, by default, obviously, why should we exclude a Rechayim Barachiv? They're also nefesh u'chayvel. So that's why Rav Huna would say that that general statement, which is extra to teach lavin, albeit for other things, but once it's extra and the term that it's being used includes Rechayim Barachiv, so therefore you're going to get extra lavin for Rechayim Barachiv too. Aval hachab, it says Abaye, but here in my case, I'm disagreeing with Ravam, ki imsli eish lav yaseiruhu. Those words in the pasuk ki imsli eish, it's not superfluous. In other words, it's not coming to add on any negative prohibitions to say that, oh, it's a general statement, that's not a problem. We Rav Huna, you see, it makes a general statement of lavin. No, that's only over there where it's anyways coming to include lavin, so then we apply it to Rechayim Barachiv. But here he says, not like Rava, the words Kim Slesh is not coming to say a negative prohibition, because Dimi Boyle, look at the Tanya, we actually need those words to actually teach us a different halacha as is taught in the Braisa. In other words, you're right. Kim Slesh, if it's saying only roasting, what's that excluding? Yes, it is referring to na'u mevushal. But however, it's only coming to qualify the halacha that you only violate na'u mevushal during the nighttime, when you're supposed to, in other words, if you eat it cooked, let's say during the daytime, then you will not violate that isser. That's what's coming to teach, but not coming to add on more isurim, and that's why you're not going to get a lav for those words in the pasuk. As the Braisa teaches, the Braisa says, if it's during a period of when there is a positive commandment of getting up and eating it as roasted, which is at nighttime, that's what the words Kim Slesh are coming to say, then the other part of the pasuk, yeshne, then it applies, of not to eat it semi-cooked. But if it's not during a time when you have a commandment to go ahead and eat it roasted, let's say on the day of the 14th of Nisan, then then you don't get the violation of eating it partially roasted. So therefore, Abaye says, Rav Huna would agree to me that with this extra words in the pasuk kim tzliyesh, not like Rava, that's coming to add on more laban, you don't get lashes for that if you eat the Karban Pesach partially cooked or cooked. So, because rather, although when yes, there is a statement that is increasing laban, it could apply to those specifics like Rechaim Barachim. Here, these words are not coming to add on. They're not superfluous to add on Lav Yisera. They're actually being used only to qualify the Issav Noam Mavushal. In other words, when it's Kiyam Tzliyesh, when you're supposed to eat it roasted, which is only the night of the 15th of Nisan, that's when you're going to get to Issa of eating a Noam Mavushal. But let's say it's the day of the 14th, when you make the Karban Pesach. Then if you eat a Noam Mavushal, you're actually not going to get that negative prohibitions and sets of lashes for that, because since it's not the mitzvah right now to eat it roasted on the fire, so therefore if you do eat it semi-cooked or cooked, you're not going to get those lashes either at this point. So therefore, both Abaye and Rava don't have to necessarily be the same machlekes as Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. They actually could each one hold like both of those opinions.